Our next public hearing is subdivision 2006-62, Joseph A. Black.
Gentlemen, this is an application to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, dividing 43.52 acres into 37 lots, located west of Route 249, 1,895 feet north of Route 248A. This application was reviewed as a major subdivision by the Technical Advisory Committee, and I would ask Mr. Abbott if he had any additional comments.
Mr. Chairman, the applicants on March 17th provided an exhibit booklet. Each of you has a copy of that. That'll be made a part of the record. And Mr. McCabe sent us a septic feasibility statement from Denrec, and they indicated that the site is suitable for on-site septic system. That's all I have, unless you have any questions.
All right, sir, we thank you. I believe that's Mr. McCabe there.
Yes. For the record, I'm Stephen McCabe, professional engineer with George Miles and Buer. I'm representing the Black family, who are the owners of the project and the residents, a resident of the project. And I also have with me Mr. David Myers, who is the engineer, and George Miles and Buer, that is in charge of the design of the project. What we're applying for tonight is preliminary approval for a subdivision of land for 43.52 acres, AR1 zone. It's currently a poultry farm, and the residents of the Black family, Joseph and Cindy Black, what they're interested in doing is creating 35 additional parcels and retaining a parcel for themselves as their residents. And what we have before you is a subdivision plat and an information booklet. When we were commissioned by the Black family to do this for them, they had a very strong vision of what they wanted for the project. This is more or less going to be the Black family's retirement plan. Like most farmers in the county, the value that they have is in their property. And in the interest of private property owner rights and the subdivision ordinance, as a permitted use in an AR1 zone, they were interested in subdividing the property. And what their vision to us was a 3/4 acre lot, individual well and septic subdivision with county spec streets and swales. And at this time, I would like to call Mr. Joe Black to the podium to give the commission his scope of what his intentions are with this project.
Evening, gentlemen. For the record, Joe Black, 24609 Black Drive in Melton. Just like to share a little history to date on the situation that we're applying for here. I bought the farm from family members in 1977. Soon thereafter, I was actively engaged in farming at the time. Soon thereafter, I started building poultry houses on the property. Over a period of time now, there are 7 chicken houses on the property. About, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, I guess, we had approached our family, our kids, about the possibility that they were interested in carrying on the farm operation, and they were not, and I can't say as I blame them, but with that in mind, my wife and I made some decisions at that point in time about what maybe we would want to do. At that point in time, I have some health issues that I'm dealing with, and we had to start thinking about a retirement plan for ourselves. So I guess we initially started thinking about what we would like to do as far as a subdivision plan at that point in time. And I guess really it's been a period of maybe 4 years now since we've been working on it. And I think what we've got here to present to you is a good and viable plan for the community and represents something that we have thought out very well, I feel. And in addition to that, we have just recently built a home on the property that basically sets the standard for what we would expect homes to represent in that community. We're basically trying to follow a farmhouse or a country theme with farmhouse homes on the property. And as you can see, the property is in 3/4 acre parcels or larger, and represents a small subdivision and something that we think works well with the community. And in addition to providing a better environmentally sound situation for the area, I think indeed it will help in the values of the property surrounding us, and will adhere to what it is the community wants to see. So that being said, that was our plan.
Following Mr. Black, I would like to call your attention to the information booklet that I submitted. On page 3, there's two photographs of the project site. One is from the south side of the property. One is from the east side of the property. As stated before, it's a 43.5 acre AR1 zone piece of property currently in agricultural use. It is in the level 4 area on the state strategies map. It is a very low density of 0.83 units per acre, and which the state strategies doesn't prohibit development in level 4 areas, but states that they should be limited. And we feel that this is in conformance with that. We're not required to go through the PLUS process, being where this was less than 50 lots, and it is a permitted use. It's not a change of zone or a conditional use. It's a subdivision application. We have met with DLDOT. DLDOT has requested no road improvements, no additional auxiliary lanes, because the traffic generated by this project is very, very low. We're only looking at 35 lots. So the site description that's in the booklet is kind of self-explanatory. This project is approximately 1.25 miles west of the town of Milton, so it's outside the town. It's in an area that already has a mixed use of residences on larger lots and farming. If you look at the picture on page 3, you can see the shots of the mailboxes down the road, and you can see some houses in the distance. As Mr. Black had alluded to, they are your typical Sussex County country-type residences, and we feel that having large lot sizes and the rural nature of this development will fit in to the community. This property had formerly been in agricultural preservation, but it has now since been removed. There is a letter, two letters, in fact, in the back of the booklet that attest to, number one, the property being formerly in agricultural preservation, and a request letter that it be removed after its time expired. And the second letter is from the Delaware Agricultural Lands Preservation Foundation, stating that they have taken it off their database as agricultural preservation. So the property, for all intents and purposes, is AR1 and unencumbered and available to be subdivided. As Mr. Black had stated, the subject property currently has 7 chicken houses, and we feel subdividing the property and improving the property will enhance the community in the local area by removal of the chicken houses and the poultry operation. We feel we have addressed the TAC comments. We have received the TAC comments and have addressed them very carefully. We feel that the project is in compliance with the subdivision ordinance as far as integrating into the existing terrain and landscape. As we said before, we feel it's 3/4 acre lots, and we have 25% open space. As part of the TAC process, a request was made to provide open space buffers for wetlands. This project does have jurisdictional wetlands within the boundary of the property. Open space parcels were created and the project has approximately 10.86 acres of open space. And what that does is that takes all the wetlands out of play. There are no wetlands on any lots. And we have also added forested buffers on the east and western property line and a landscape buffer area between the project and Shingle Point Road. As far as preservation of natural and historic features, the National Register of Historic Places does not list any historic sites on this property. However, we feel that there are some natural resources on the property. It does front Waples Branch, and there are some wetlands. And as I had stated before, open space parcels were created to protect the wetlands and preserve them in perpetuity in the open space. And the Black family themselves have carved out a lot for themselves. Right here, 3.5 acres on that fronts on Waples Branch. So all this frontage on Waples Branch is either in open space or it's on the Black family property themselves. So it's not in endangered. As far as the minimization of tree and vegetation, we currently have about 12 acres of trees on this parcel. We're going to have to have some removed because this is an AR1 subdivision on individual wells and individual septic systems. So we're anticipating approximately 30% of the wooded area will be required to be cleared to make room for septic systems and for the individual dwellings. That does not take into account the forested buffer that we're adding on the east and west sides of the property, and it also does not take into account the 10-foot landscape buffer across the front of the property. And those buffers themselves represent about 0.4 acres. So there is going to be some put back. As I stated before, water supply is going to be by individual wells. These are 3/4 acre size lots, so they are large lot sizes. Provision for sewer, sanitary sewer is going to be by individual septic systems. We did all the required reporting on site evaluations for on-site wastewater and disposal, and we did obtain the non-binding letter of septic feasibility from the state, stating that we have septic feasibility for the site. As far as the water resources and protection of the water resources are concerned, I will leave those up to the qualified hands of Mr. David Myers. But as I stated before, we're not looking for catch basins. We're not looking to do curbing. We're not looking to do channeled runoff. This is going to be a country feel subdivision. It's outside of town. It's in a rural area. It's in a place where there are larger homes and larger lot sizes out in the country. And the vision of the owner is to have grass swales and open streets. As far as providing for safe and vehicular access and pedestrian movement within the site, as I said before, it's in rural character. It's 3/4 acre lot sizes. There is not central recreation because of the large lot sizes. We feel there's going to be recreation on each person's lot. So I don't feel there's a need to have sidewalks or streetlights in a project of this nature because we're not centralizing recreation. We're not having a community center. We're not having an open space parcel where people are to congregate. These are larger lot sizes out in the country. We did take this plan and submit it to the State Fire Marshal Office for review, which has resulted in a plan approval from the State Fire Marshal Office dated August 22nd, 2007. So I feel like we have demonstrated that the streets are sufficient and safe for emergency vehicles and ingress and egress to and from all the lots and parcels. Effect on area property values, we feel there will be a net positive impact in the community As we stated before, there's existing seven poultry houses there now, and we feel like we're going to have a spacious development, and I think that's going to be a positive impact on the neighborhood. The drawback is preservation and conservation of farmland. I mean, this was formerly 43 and a half acres of land that was in agricultural preservation. However, I think this is a positive impact because of the proximity of the poultry houses to Waples Branch and to the wetlands. I think when we come in here with a modern stormwater management system and with a residential housing development, I think the quality of the water is going to improve, and I think it's going to have a net positive impact on the environment and the water resources of the state of Delaware. As far as effect on schools, public buildings, and community facilities, this is a relatively small development. As I had stated before, the traffic generation was very, very minimal, and DelDOT did not even require turn lanes on either side of the road coming in and out of this project. We feel that there's going to be minimal impact to schools and public facilities, but we also recognize that the Delaware State Police and the Milton Fire Company are more than likely going to have to provide service to this project. Compatibility with other area land uses and impact on local waterways. As we had said before, the surrounding area is zoned AR1 and has a mixed use of residential, single family, detached dwellings, and also areas for farming. The proposed development consists of lot sizes that are large, and we feel that it's going to add to the rural nature of the development. And with that said, if you're interested in looking in the project booklet, we have exhibits in the back that show the proposed development, the tax map, the state strategies for policies and spending, aerial map, soils, and wetlands delineations, and letters from the Department of Agriculture. At this time, I would like to call up David Myers, who can address any of the technical design issues and talk about the design of the development.
Good evening. David Myers from GMB, 400 High Street, Seaford, Delaware, representing the Black family. I've primarily been brought into the project as a project engineer. I'm a professional engineer. My tasks are to secure the permits and deal with the reviewing agencies. So at this point, I'm going to discuss the status of some of these permits and the review that we've been through to this point. I guess I'll start with the Sussex Conservation District, since my background primarily is in hydrology and hydraulics, and I deal with those folks on a regular basis down there. We have not made an official submittal to the Sussex Conservation District yet, although we have had two progress meetings with the folks down there. The first meeting was back in spring of 2007. It was very basic, discussed in a preliminary fashion. Excuse me. The next meeting was in the fall of 2007. It was a much more detailed review of the project. I received a lot of direction from Jim Elliott and the other folks at Sussex Conservation District. We discussed some of the overall drainage patterns, how water quantity and water quality are going to be controlled for the project. Generally, the project has a drainage divide that runs north and south, kind of through the center of the project. In the existing condition, a lot of about a third of the water drains towards the front, towards Shingle Point Road, and about two-thirds of it drains to the back towards Ingram Branch. In the current situation, the drainage in the front portion of the property is not well. There's some sump areas where it kind of floods and things during rainstorms. During the proposed condition, we're planning on improving the ditch somewhat along Shingle Point Road and putting in a trunk line storm drain to transfer the water from the front to the back where the stormwater management pond is. Nearly all of the site is directed to the stormwater management basin. It's a wet pond that's near in the back of the project near Ingram's Branch. There is one small portion of the property kind of along the northerly property line that's going to be treated with a bio swale for water quality, and then it will be released into the Ingram Branch as clean water. That was the best way we could handle the drainage situation for that, and that was at the direction of the Sussex Conservation District. Obviously, green technology methods have been provided throughout the project, and basically we have a final drainage report ready to submit to SCD, but we didn't want to do it until we were sure we were going to get a preliminary plan approval for the project. Let me move on to DLDOT. We submitted a letter of no objection site plan to DLDOT back on October 4th of 2007. We immediately received comments back from them on October 23rd. Their comments were fairly minor. They did request a 15-foot wide easement along the front, along Shingle Point Road, for a 10-foot wide multi-use path that will be future. And they requested that no lots have driveways connecting directly to Shingle Point Road. All driveways must enter onto the subdivision streets. As Steve McCabe stated earlier, there was no auxiliary lanes, turn lanes, right turn lanes, left turn lanes. None of that was required. There was no TIS report required. The site actually has about 334 vehicles per day, which is not significant. No additional right-of-way was requested by DLDOT either. The functional classification of the road is local. A local road only requires a 30-foot wide right-of-way, but the current condition of the road has a 70-foot wide right-of-way, so there's more than sufficient right-of-way width. Revisions have been made per some of those comments already. And again, we basically have entrance plans ready to submit to DLDOT, although we want to get through this phase of the project first. Plans were submitted to the fire marshal back on July 19th of 2007. That plan was approved as submitted. There is no central water within 1,000 feet of the project, and that's where the water needs to be in order for us to for the fire marshal to require us to tie into it. The spacing of the homes with the 3/4-acre lots was significant, so the fire marshal just approved the plan as submitted, and as Steve stated earlier, the site's accessible to fire trucks, and ingress, egress was not a problem. I'm getting into some of the tech comments now. Mapping and addressing department, we've been through that. All the street names for the project have been approved. Office of Drinking Water, the site has individual wells, so there was no approval required by the Office of Drinking Water. Chesapeake Utilities, the gas company, didn't have any gas lines close enough for us to consider tying into. Department of Agriculture requested a 30-foot forested buffer along the north property line of the project. We granted that. There's no underground storage tanks on or near the property. The Division of Fish and Wildlife has not surveyed the property, although their database shows that there is some plant growth, some sensitive plant growth and wetlands on the Ingram's Branch, which we're not going to disturb. NRCS gave a report on some soils, listed three soils: Eastboro, Fort Mott Henlopen, Long Marsh. They had a report on some limiting zones, but we actually had a more detailed report done for the septic feasibility study that was submitted to DENREC. DENREC issued an approval letter for the feasibility study for the septic systems. And then there was a letter from the county attorney that we received back on September 25th, 2007. And they requested that we provide some covenants and restrictions for the subdivision, which we did. Forested buffers are provided along the north property line of the Ingram branch, the north property line and the Ingram branch. We complied with all additional setback requirements from agricultural land, from architectural lands. 35, the total count for the lots on the subdivision right now, it was requested from the county attorney that we kind of clear that up. There's 35 lots being proposed. Three of them are open space parcels, and one of them is a stormwater management parcel where the pond is. And I guess in conclusion, I just want to say I'm satisfied that all the agency comments have been addressed. And with that, I'll open the floor back up to Steve McCabe. Thanks.
Thank you, sir.
I think the issue with the lot clarification was that the Black family had subdivided out a lot for themselves and retained a lot for themselves. So when you count up the lots of the subdivision, it's going to count up to 36. But there's, because they've already done it, so their subdivision lots already subdivided, and there's going to be a creation of 35 additional lots. And any of the easements and old property lines that you see that are existing are going to be superseded by this plat, should you approve it. All right. At this time, I think we've addressed everything in the subdivision ordinance. I think we've addressed the TAC comments. I think we've prepared a good application here, and we've addressed the agency comments. And as Mr. Myers had stated before, I think we're poised to submit to the agencies for final approval of the construction drawings should you move to approve for preliminary approval this application. And this concludes our presentation, and we are available to answer any questions that you may have.
All right, sir. Well, we'll see if anyone has any questions for you. Mr. Johnson, you were just first on the list all night tonight, so have at it.
I appreciate the opportunity, Mr. Chairman, to ask a few questions. Mr. McKay, could you tell me how far, what the minimum setback would be from the wetlands on this property?
The setback from the property lines, or the setback from proposed dwellings?
The setback from the property lines to the wetlands.
The width of the buffer varies. There is one section that we made down on the western side of the property.
Right here. And this is kind of like a farming swale that was made, and it's completely inside this parcel. The setback, it gets as close, I would say, as 5 feet to this property line. But it is contained, and there are no property lines or wetlands in any of the lots. So to answer your question, it kind of varies because it's a meandering. It's kind of like a hedgerow farm ditch type thing. But the actual setback of the actual ditch line itself, the center line of the ditch to the lots, it varies. And I would say it gets as close is 5 to 10 feet, and I'd say it varies. It can be, in some places it's 100 feet, but it kind of meanders.
And except for the ditch, when I'm looking back at the wetlands on the back of the property closest to the creek, what's the minimum setback from those wetlands?
The federal 404 wetland lines are actually coinciding with the rear property lines of those lots. So the lots technically don't encroach the wetlands, but the wetlands are on the opposite side of the property lines.
Are you familiar, sir, with what the commission has been requesting in recent public hearings in terms of the minimum setback from wetlands, whether they be 404 or state wetlands?
I have heard.
And what might have you heard, sir?
That it generally can range. I know it's been debated, sometimes hotly debated. Anywhere from 50 to 100 feet, sometimes 150 feet, I've heard. We've also heard talk of riparian buffers and the like. And but when I prepared this plan, it was in accordance with the subdivision ordinance.
And one of the comments I heard earlier was that you felt like you addressed all the issues that were raised in the TAC comments, and I'll refer you specifically to the TAC comments that were put forth by DNREC and the Division of Fish and Wildlife, where it states that they're recommending that the buffer be at least 100 feet in width for the wetlands.
Is that a recommendation or
it's a recommendation from the state. I understand it's not state regs. They haven't got around to passing those yet. But in response to that, you're satisfied that being right on the edge of the property line is sufficient to address those concerns from the state?
I feel we have large lot sizes, and we have no wetlands on any of the individual lots, especially the lots that are close to the wetlands. If you look up on the drawing where Waples Branch is, a lot of the lot sizes have been increased to 1.5 acres to 3.5 acres, and none of them encroach into the wetlands.
Because the wetlands run right along the edge of the property line.
That is correct.
So what I'm hearing you say is that they those lots perhaps have adequate acreage where you could provide a 50-foot buffer.
It could be done.
Thank you. Since we're on buffers, let's go to the buffer on the landscape buffer that you're proposing along Single Point Road.
Yes.
How wide might that buffer be?
Is proposed at 10 feet wide.
Is that in addition to the 15 feet that are being set aside for the paved multimodal pathways and nowhere?
It is. It is.
Okay. Thank you. And counting the Black's homestead, we're talking about 36 lots, is that correct?
35 additional building lots.
36 including the Black's?
Correct.
Would they be considered part of the subdivision?
Yes, they would.
Homeowners Association?
Yes, they would. In the deeded restrictions and covenants that the attorney has drawn up, the Black family is in charge of the open space and common areas and would be in charge of the property owners association until such a time that an association is made. So yes, they are a part of the development.
And they
yes.
will be part of the homeowners association. Okay. And I see what appears to be a stub road. Is that?
Yes, we planned for some interconnectivity. I don't know if the adjacent property next door will ever develop, but we felt like it was a prudent thing to do, and we planned for it. Based upon the configuration of the lots are generally configured in such a way to make efficient use of the septic areas, and we felt that, you know, an opportunity did exist to provide for interconnectivity and a stub road, and that's why we put it there.
And in this development of 35 lots, would you anticipate there'd be any school-age children?
Yes, sir.
Is there a provision for a school bus stop?
No, sir, there is not, but one can be made.
Okay. And if I was, let me get out my magnifying glass, it gets a little small. If I was in lot 19, that's upper right-hand corner. How might my school-age children safely get to the school bus stop at the front of the development if there's no sidewalks?
There will be 8-foot grass shoulders on each side of the street. These are county spec streets, and there are several hundred Sussex County subdivisions with these types of streets in existence today. And I can attest to that. and they have 8-foot wide grass shoulders on either side of a 20-foot wide paved street.
And sir, can you testify too that in recent subdivisions that most of them are going without sidewalks?
Most subdivision today, most of the subdivisions that I've been hearing from this commission are typically adding or making conditions of approval sidewalks and street lights. However, in the case of this development, being where it is in a rural area, it is over a mile outside of town. It is not in or does not have a central recreation or a community center. We feel with the large lot sizes that sidewalks are not appropriate for this development. The owner specifically had requested that we not have sidewalks, and we feel like in an AR1 subdivision outside of the development district with 3/4 acre lot sizes that sidewalks weren't necessary.
I ran out of sticky notes, Mr. Chairman, because of the next public hearing, but I might have another one.
Anywhere until 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. So you just go right ahead, and all these folks will be happy to wait just as long as it takes.
Okay.
You go right ahead.
I'm going to go back then to the TAC comments dealing with from DENREC, dealing with the sandy ridges or dunes that are on this property. Are any of those that at risk of being destroyed or bulldozed down as part of this process of creating this subdivision?
We are not anticipating and don't plan to do mass grading on this project. This is a gently sloping site, and we are trying to keep in tune with the rural character of the neighborhood. What we plan to do is have county spec streets with grass, gentle grass swales, and utilize the swales' natural ability for water quality and stormwater management, and collect the water in a wet pond. And we don't anticipate radical regrading. I mean, we have a poultry farm here, a farming operation that has already disturbed the ground. We don't feel that this is a pristine environment that we're starting a development on. We feel that there have already been farming practices in place here for many years. There have been farm ditches dug and the like. And we feel like what we're doing is an improvement to this parcel. I don't anticipate mass grading. We want to keep as many trees here as we can. And we're only going to disturb and remove the minimum of what is necessary to develop the project.
And in your efforts to prepare for this evening, has there been a survey on the property for any potential endangered species?
It's our understanding that there are no endangered species on this site. We have not performed endangered species surveys specifically. We went through the TAC process. We received comments from U.S. Fish and Wildlife, and we have no indication that there is anything on this property. Like I said before, we only have a 12-acre patch of woods on a 43.5-acre parcel. It's got 7 chicken houses on it, and it's been farmed for the generation that's there. So we have no indication that there's any endangered species on the site.
Well, I don't imagine there's any underneath the chicken houses. My concern is more around the endangered species that might be in the wetland area, and I noticed that in the TAC report that there was a couple requests to have the community ecologist to do a site visit, which would be done at no cost or obligation or liability to the property owner. Is that is that acceptable?
I would, the Black family, if you would not object to them coming on your property, I don't think there's an objection from the property owners at all.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have no further questions.
All right, sir, Mr. Burton.
All my questions have been answered.
Okay, Mr. Gordy.
Does the deed restrictions address what type of housing you have?
The It's kind of, there is an architectural review committee that has been established, and that any homes that are on site would have to go through architectural review by the architectural review committee in the homeowners association.
Are they going to be modular, stick built, double wide?
I would like to refer that question to Mr. Black, who can...
In reviewing or going over the deed restrictions and covenants of the subdivision, we had stuck to stick-built homes. And was there a square footage minimum? We haven't gotten to that part of it yet. But once again, I get back to my statement, and that is adhering to the type of home and size of home that we constructed on the property. Mm-hmm. Which is approximately 3,000 square feet. So I'm sure our minimum is going to be fairly high, and to keep in comparison to the type of home that we've built there, that we want to set the standard for the community.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Thank you. And reference to a letter in your booklet from the Delaware Agricultural Lands.
Yes.
It's a request to withdraw from the partial 235-25-30. What's the status on that? Has it been approved?
Well, there's a second letter in that basically states that the property has been removed from the state's database, from the AgLands database, and that the property was in agricultural preservation for a period of time. Mm-hmm. That period of time has matured, and the property owner has requested that he be taken out.
Big enough.
And that this is a letter confirming that the project has been taken out.
It says we have placed this information in our database, but I don't know if that, does that mean it's been withdrawn? Do you know, Mr. Lyon?
It doesn't specifically. It almost sounds like they placed the request in the database.
Yeah, that's
but
what
they
I
didn't confirm that it's been withdrawn. That's
what I'm getting.
The previous letter, I think, gives a date of expiration of the Agricultural Preservation District.
Yeah, it's not that clear.
When you read the letter, and it refers to you, Mr. Robertson, it appears that there is no permission needed, that they simply notify and then it happens just by virtue of the fact that they've notified them. Okay. I think that's how it works. I'm not sure.
They do have to notify before their anniversary of their 10 years.
Which they were well in advance of that. The letter's from 2005.
If they don't, so. It gets extended by 5 years.
Okay. Right. Well, I think they conform to the statute.
When I read this, it just wasn't clear to me.
Yeah, the letter isn't what Mr. Byard asked for in his letter. He asked them to confirm that it had been done. They simply confirmed that they received the letter, but I suspect that's all they have to do because it just happens because they asked for it.
Right.
That's a good thing. It's good when things happen that way sometimes, you know.
We get notice from the Department of Ag or the Delaware Ag Land Preservation Foundation when a property gets created as a district.
Right.
We get notice when there are expansions to those districts that don't require public hearing. But we don't get notice when they become permanent easements either.
Okay.
They get recorded directly in the recorder deed. We don't see them.
But we don't. They don't tell us. Okay. No.
The easement and the agreement usually.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
That's all the questions I have.
All right, Mr. Smith.
Yeah. Thank you. Lots 10, 11, and 12. Unclear to me. What street are they fronting on? 10, 11, and 12.
13 also, really.
They're actually through lots that have fronted on both.
Yeah.
So they have double setback standards.
Yes, they have double frontage. So it's my understanding when you have an instance of double frontage, it comes down to architectural review committee, and it'll be based upon the placement of the first home so that all the homes are placed in the correct and in similar direction.
Never heard it put that way, but that's typically right. Now, I would note, since that was brought up, that lot number 1 through 6 are also through lots, and the setback requirement from Shingle Point Road will be at least 40 feet, and that no access to Shingle Point Road will be permitted except through the entry road.
That is correct.
40 feet instead of 10?
40 feet. Well, they're showing several lines there, but it's actually 40 from the right-of-way.
There's a specific reference in the subdivision ordinance.
Yes.
About mm-hmm. double frontage lots, 919F.
Yeah, as I stated before, we placed the lots in accordance with the vision of what the Black family had wanted, and in accordance with the septic site evaluations. We had to locate the lots in such a way that every lot could have septic, and that every lot was positioned in such a way that it had viable square footage in the soils that were good for septic. So one of the devils of doing that is we did have some lots that have double frontage.
You may have mentioned what the site evaluations reveal, but if you would repeat that, I'm sorry if you've said it once.
Yeah, basically, when the Blacks came to us with this layout that they wanted to do, we sent the Atlantic Resources Management was our sub-consultant that did the site evaluations for all the lots. And as stated by DENREC, every lot has a viable septic, and we have the septic feasibility letter. But we had to use some ingenuity to make all the lots viable building lots. I mean, there are some areas on this site where the soils, are not so desirable for septic systems. But there are also some very good soils for it. So we had to position the lots accordingly. And we also had to comply with what the Black family wanted for the layout of the site, and that's why it is the configuration that it is.
So those site evaluations might reveal a mixture of, shall we say, some gravity, some LPP,
that
pressure dose, some sand line mounds.
That is correct.
That's all.
All right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Lang?
Well, I made issue of the 40-foot setback from Shingle Point Road. There's on Peppercorn Street, you have basically dead-end cul-de-sacs on each side of the turnabout at the entry. Could those be used for possible future interconnection at the Perry property and the Natrin property? Or is that just intended to be cul-de-sacs or a green space triangle?
We put the turnarounds on there because of the length of the street. I was concerned with the fire marshal. As I said before, the fire marshal has approved the streets on this project, and I know from experience when you have dead-end streets in excess of 300 feet, the fire marshal wants a turnaround for fire safety equipment. So I was concerned that, to answer your question, yes, they could be. They could be stubs, and they could be interconnections, but I just felt like the length of the street mandated a turnaround.
Well, the county would require a turnaround in those situations also. That's all I have.
All right, sir. Mr. Counts?
Just a couple quick questions. In your opinion, is the branch a perennial stream?
Yes. Okay. It has a permanent bank, and it has subaqueous land.
Okay. And in the information available to me, it looks like about roughly half the site is excellent recharge area, which on page 5, your discussion about natural features doesn't recognize that. And I don't think I heard any discussion about excellent recharge area. What measures are you going to be taking to encourage the recharge and protect it from contamination?
We are going to have... We're not proposing a lot of impervious area on this site. I think what we're actually proposing is the bare minimum of impervious area. I think the only thing that's going to be paved are the streets. We're not proposing a lot of sidewalks. We're not proposing parking areas or the like. So I think what we're trying to do is create and maintain the rural nature and encourage natural infiltration. I think our stormwater approach is about as good as you can get. I mean, a wet pond, I feel, is one of the higher water quality discharge best management practices out there. And I feel, this project is going to have minimal mass grading, and I think it's going to be, as far as building a development on a site, as least intrusive as you can do.
Let me go back to a point that, of discussion with Commissioner Johnson. On the interface between the 404 wetlands and the properties,
mm-hmm.
would you be willing to offer an increase in the rear setback adjacent to the wetlands so that there would be a 50-foot construction buffer so that no, even though it's within the property line, there would not be allowed to have structures within that 50-foot?
I think that's very viable. I know I can't speak for the Blacks. I knew the Black family, if they would like to address this issue, if you would like to come up. You're talking about not moving the property line, but creating a building setback.
That's correct. The building setback line that you show, I assume, meets code right now.
It's the standard setback line, right?
Right, 10 feet or something.
Well, I guess I need to understand.
So 20 feet, so it would increase it another 30 feet, and the size of the lots would still allow plenty of room for location of the dwelling. There just wouldn't be any building.
That's correct. I think that's totally doable, but I'd like to have Mr. Black make that call.
So if I understand correctly, the setback that we have there on the drawing is 20 feet from the wetlands.
It's just a standard building setback.
That would be the minimum, and you're proposing that we would consider,
in lieu of providing a buffer between the wetland and the lot,
making the lot smaller and the open space larger, or creating a space between
a larger distance between
just
the wetlands
and
the building area or the setback.
So that the effect is the same, it's just not within, outside the property lines.
Gotcha. I see. That's not a problem. That sounds fine.
But four lots.
The four lots adjacent to the branch.
Sure.
Lot 19, 22, 23, and 36.
Good idea. Yeah.
Four.
Including yours.
Well, ours is already done. So, yeah, that would be
fine. I think the owner is in support of that.
Okay. That's all I've got.
That it? Mr.
Abbott?
Good question. Mr. Robertson?
Just a statement. I don't have a set of the restrictive covenants. So.
All right. I received them from the attorney. I'm not exactly sure if they were submitted, and I have a copy that I can submit to you now.
Okay, if you would, so we have the record, since they've been referenced. Give him the bench, please. Thanks, Steve.
Yeah. Used to Mr. Stickles, you know.
That's all the questions I had. All the statements.
All right, sir.
I also have, while I'm submitting things for the record, I also have a letter of support from one of the adjacent property owners that the Black family had passed along to me. Is this the time, proper time to submit it?
Sure. Yeah,
can hand it up.
Give that to Mr. Lang.
Just want to see if all these people out here are still awake.
Yeah. And that concludes our work.
Outstanding. If you'll take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anybody here that has an interest in your application. Is there anyone that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2006-62, Joseph A. Black? Is there anyone that would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2006-62? Yes, sir. Step right up. Give us your name and address. You may have the floor.
My name is Gary Collins, and I'd like to know how many more wells we can drive in Sussex County before Sussex County goes dry. That's number one. Number two, the amount of chicken houses that's on this farm, and as long as they've been there, I would think the quality of water would be very poor. Number three, every home brings no less than two automobiles. This day and time, probably four if you got children driving back and forth to school. And these raggedy roads that we live on in Sussex County can't handle any more cars. They're old round-top roads with potholes up and down both sides of them. How do I know? Because I live on one of those roads, and I've lived on them all of my life. And all the county and the state does is come along and put some blacktop down and some stone. 3 days later, the stone's kicked to the side and the blacktop's on your car. That's Sussex County. And number four...
State of Delaware.
State of Delaware. And number four, you talk about endangered species. Look around this room. There's endangered species when you get overpopulation. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir. Would anyone else like to speak in opposition? Anyone on the commission have any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to spend the rest of your Thursday evening with us to see if we make a decision, or you may call the office in the morning.